Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Let's go. Yeah. For those of you that want to know what we're all about, it's like this, yo. This is 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, 100% reason to remember the name.
It's time to talk about the high school sports scene in Arizona and beyond. Welcome to the Coach's Corner with the coach, Scott Lovely. We are the first internet sports radio talk show focusing on the high school sports scene. And here's your host, Coach Lovely.
All right. Good afternoon. Good evening, Arizona high school sports fans. I am the coach, Scott Lovely, and welcome to today's show. You know, today's topic is a hot one. There's been a lot of people debating this lately, and now there's even a lawsuit in process right now. Today's topic actually is come up because some former college players have filed a lawsuit against the NCAA, arguing that college players should be paid for use of their likeness. So my question to you is, should college athletes be paid? That's right, should college athletes be paid? You know, today we have two guests that are going to join us today, and this is a hot topic. I mean, you know, right now you've got the lawsuit that's been filed with Sonny Vaccaro and Ed O'Bannon being the figurehead of that suit, and you've got, some former NFL players looking at the situation because of contracts and things that are being signed by former conferences and using their likeness to promote the conference. And we're going to talk to a couple people about the situation. I'm going to have with me today a guest, Jackie Taylor, who joined us not too long ago talking about March Madness. And she's going to join us today, and she's going to talk about her opinion as to whether or not college athletes should be paid, of course, above and beyond the scholarship. And I'm going to address that in just a second. Also, we're going to talk to former NFL football player, executive producer, Ray Ellis, who's going to join us here in a little bit. And he's going to talk about his perspective as to whether or not he thinks college athletes should be reimbursed for use of their likeness in video games and all the different things. And we'll talk about that in depth. But those are going to be our two guests. So here's the thing. Athletes work their butts off to get college scholarships and to play for the school they're choosing. And that's what we talk about those kids every day or every Monday, and we talk about how much they put in and how hard they work and how excited they are. And finally, they get to the signing day comes, they get to sign the document that says they're given a college scholarship. Now, how many of you are aware that when they sign that, they sign away their right of their likeness for perpetuity? That's right, perpetuity. That means that wherever they go to school, once they sign the document that says that they want to come to school there and play college athletics, they now, that university or institution, can use their likeness in perpetuity. Now, the rights that they sign away. Now, here's my question to you. Would you sign that contract if you knew that that's what you were signing? But wait. Before you answer the question, I want you to think about this. EA Sports. It's in the game. Come on. You know that you guys are out there playing PlayStation 3, you're out there playing PlayStation 3, Xbox, Nintendo. So these games you have coming out, you have NCAA football, you have NCAA basketball, March Madness games coming out. And come on, you know you buy those games because you're associated with the school. Whatever school it is, some of you guys here locally are big ASU fans. So when you play the ASU game, you went and bought that. Why did you buy it? Because you wanted to play with James Harden and Jeff Pendergraft. Or if you buy the UCLA game, why? Because you wanted to use Kevin Love. So when you get these games and you load them in your computer and you crack them open and the guy that you like the most on your team is on the cover of the magazine or on the cover of the game and you're playing UCLA basketball with your favorite player, that kid never saw a dime from that. But the licensing agreement that was signed with the NCAA and EA Sports, they made money off of that situation. The Big Ten Network signed a 10-year agreement with ESPN and ABC Sports. Financial terms were not disclosed. I wonder why. Because it's probably some absurd amount of money, and they don't want to have to justify it. That's right. You get the Big Ten Network is now going to carry not just live games. They're not going to have a channel in this network that shows games that are from way back. From way back. So guys who played during the 80s, those games are going to be highlighted on this network as a history channel that people have to pay for, subscribe to have access to. The university is going to make money off of this, as is the NCAA, but the athlete will not. Video releases of games that you played in as an athlete sold for a minimum of $30, but yet you get nothing. The distribution company gets the money, the NCAA gets the money, the institution gets the money. Really? So for a small investment, a public institution can spend, because it says they're the average tuition right now nationally for a public school is $9,000. So that's $36,000 for a four-year scholarship. Or a private institution can spend, on average right now, it's about $35,000 for a private institution. So they can spend, on average, $140,000, and yet they own your image forever, never having to reimburse you with anything, for anything. The NCAA's 2011 annual budget states the income this year is upwards of $757 million. They signed a new 14-year deal last year worth $10.8 billion with CBS and TNT Sports to cover the basketball tournament, the March Madness. The NCAA chairman says that 90% of the NCAA income comes from media rights and ticket sales of the NCAA men's basketball tournament. 90% of their income comes from this time of year, the basketball season. You've got coaches like Nick Saban making $6 million a year, Coach K over at Duke, Coach K from Duke, Rick Pitino, and John Calipari all make about $4 million a year. The new head football coach, University of Pittsburgh, Todd Graham, just signed a $2 million deal. He's not even close to being in the top 10 paid coaches in the nation. I'm just giving you a little bit of information here. So we know the coaches are making money. The NCAA has a $757 billion or million dollar revenue generated from college sports. So we know those guys are making money. We know the institutions are making money. So that leaves us one question. Should the athletes that are playing sports be paid to compete? Now, I understand that, well, first off, before we get into this real deep topic, I want to hit, because I'd be remiss if I avoided this. Today, some breaking news came down. Ohio State University and Jim Tressel have been issued a notice of allegation accusing him of dishonesty. Now, I was just watching PTI. And Wilbon and Kornheiser were just talking. And in 2006, 13 coaches, since 2006, 13 coaches have been accused of the same thing by the NCAA, and only one has kept their job. That means all but one, so 12 out of 13 were fired for their allegations. Bruce Pearl was the most recent in the men's basketball. That's a big name. Now, in my opinion, Ohio State, based on this situation, is irrelevant in the hunt for national titles for the next 3 years. And I think Jim Tressel should be fired. We're going to hear from our guests on this topic, on this issue right here, and we're going to hear from them about what they think about athletes being paid. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to welcome to the show our first guest, who's joining us from Las Vegas, Nevada, Jackie Taylor, That Sports Page. Jackie, welcome to the show. I'm glad you're able to join us today.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Well, I set the table, and I know you heard about Jim Tressel and that whole situation, so let's go ahead and address that first, and then we'll jump into our topic for today. What do you think about this whole mess that's going on over at Ohio State?
You know, it's so hard because, you know, I've lived through all that drama at USC with the basketball with Tim Floyd. And, you know, you see all of that going on, and everybody knows that they all know. I mean, it's not even, it's like the best kept non-secret ever in existence. They all knew that that was going to happen if it didn't already happen. They just sort of turn a blind eye to it. So it's hard to say if he should keep his job or not because everybody's in on it. If, you know, maybe if they were paid, there wouldn't be so much shenanigans going on in the background.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, but here's the funny thing. They accused the coach of dishonesty. And now this all stemmed from the fact that these guys sold some memorabilia or traded memorabilia for tattoos.
He was probably one of the first people to hear about it and just kind of, you know, put the blinders on and was like, don't ask, don't tell about the whole thing. I'm sure
right.
He knew. I'm sure he knew. So, accusing him of dishonesty, yeah, he probably was dishonest. But, you know, how far does that warrant him losing his job over it? I'm not terribly sure that it's not even about him. That's the problem. It's not about him. It's about
as a coach, you're supposed to police and control your organization. Now,
you mentioned
basketball at USC. What about football at USC? Football at USC got put on probation for, what was it, 3 years, 4 years, lost 10 scholarships.
That whole organization is shady. Don't get me started on them. They're all shady, every last one of them. I mean, Pete Carroll, I've had so many fights with Pete Carroll over the years, looking at him like, you are awful. Like, you know that you have the biggest hand in the cookie jar of this entire batch, and you stand the most to lose financially if this all goes down. So, of course, you're going to keep your mouth shut.
Why is he real with everybody? It's the Seattle job.
Well, yeah. I mean, he had to. What else was he going to do? He lost all his scholarships. He didn't have shit to hold on to for the rest of the next portion of his contract. There was nothing left for him. So,
right.
he wasn't going to go anywhere but down.
Right. So, Jackie, but if you look at Bruce Pearl fell victim to the same situation.
As did Calvin Sampson and all the other, like, illegal things that everyone seems to do. And I love Calvin Sampson. He and I get along famously. I think he got a raw deal. But,
what do you do with Jim Trussell in this situation? Do you allow him to get away with it because he's Jim Trussell?
I don't think it's that serious of a crime to, quote-unquote, be dishonest. I mean, if he were, like, taking money from someone, and like the Tim Floyd thing, where when they found out he was, like, getting money funneled to him from one of the agents, something like that is an egregious, you know, violation, so to speak. But, like, just being dishonest, so what? I lie every day. I mean, like, it doesn't really matter. That's not really that big a deal. In the grand scheme of things, it's like they're looking to find something to get rid of him for.
I don't know. I mean, the university's definitely not looking to get rid of him. But
well, that's the thing. It's like, they're accusing him of things to kind of, you know, force the university's hand. Who's to say the AD didn't come to him and be like, I know, just keep your mouth shut. We'll give you more money. We'll give somebody money to keep their mouth shut. Anybody who knows, just we'll pay them off. I mean, everybody wants to keep their university and their program squeaky clean at whatever seemingly cost it is.
College football is not that corrupt, is it?
Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. I have some stories, but someday I will write a book and I will release those hounds upon the universe, but not today. So there's a lot of things that go on behind closed doors. That, you know, there's a lot of ADs that are, you know, they're dying to keep their jobs and they're dying to keep their own hand in the cookie jar because of their, you know, well runs dry, what are they going to do?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But here's the thing. I think that in the end, I think that with this, with all the stuff that's come out, with the fact that it's come out that he knew, and it's over and over and over again that he knew, he covered it up, he told everybody he didn't know, and didn't say anything, and you know, called an FBI agent after, it's like after all of that now is coming to the surface, he can't keep his job. He can't keep his job, but he's been fired.
He's a product of a shitty rule system. That's kind of the way that I look at it. He has to fall on the sword.
Yeah, he's going to have to. And I think that, honestly, I think Ohio State is going to lose. What are they, the seventh-ranked recruiting class this year? And I think that they're going to lose a large number of recruits as soon as the report comes out. and says that you know he failed to police and maintain his organization. I think as soon as they say that, as soon as they put that down on paper, as soon as they slap some sanctions on Ohio State, there's going to be just some kids asking for a release. And they're going to suffer the same consequence that USC suffered.
I think that accusing him of such a blatant, in such a blatant specific way of being quote-unquote dishonest is basically forcing Ohio State's hand in saying, you know that's part of his contract. We're putting it out for you to say, we're accusing him of being dishonest, and if we find him to be dishonest, you have to get rid of him because that's part of his contract, and that's breach of contract. He's got to go.
Right.
End of story. So they're doing it in such a way that it's a very manufactured stance that they're taking in order to get rid of him on purpose.
And we're going to talk about the NCAA, but first we're going to take a break. This is the Coach's Corner. I am the coach, Scott Lovely, and I'm being joined right now by Jackie Taylor, and hopefully we'll be getting Ray Ellis to join us real quickly here because Ohio State University is his alum. He's an alum from there. That's his alma mater. So we're going to hear from him what he thinks about it, and then we'll talk about should athletes be paid. This is the Coach's Corner. I am the coach, Scott Lovely. We'll be right back.
I found the game if it ain't saying nothing. Yeah, that's right. Everybody got game. But we just here to let y'all know that P.E. is in full effect from right now.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
Tired of the same mundane talk radio show, boring opinions, and people not knowing or telling the truth? Tune into The Sports Life with Josh and Otis. This show is brought to you by two men who know the good, the bad, and the ugly of professional sports. Josh and Otis's experience and careers in the NFL give them access to the inside information and a reason to have a candid opinion. Tune into the Voice America Sports Channel Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific. The Sports Life with Josh and Otis. It's more than sports talk. It's a way of life.
Do you think that all of the generic financial information you get every day is hard to navigate? You need to tune in to Duffy's Financial Playbook. Every weekend, Andre S. Duffy will help you filter out this information and turn it into wisdom that you can really use. Be informed about the financial decisions you're about to make instead of just blindly making decisions. Andre's connections in the business and professional sports world will help you so you don't need to worry about your financial success. Tune in to Duffy's Financial Playbook, Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely. We're being joined by Jackie Taylor, that sports babe, and we're also being joined by my executive producer and former Ohio State Buckeye, Cleveland Brown, and Philadelphia Eagle, Mr. Ray Ellis. Welcome to the show, Ray.
How are you, Coach? Glad to join you guys today.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Now, Coach, Ray, I know you've been hearing all about what's happening at The Ohio State University. We're going to hit this. I just want to hit this for a quick 2 seconds because I just want to get your opinion about how this is going to go down and what do you think is going to happen over at Ohio State, man.
Well, you know, it's interesting because me and my good friend, Kelvin Fisher, the great scout for the Pittsburgh Steelers, he and I had a real, joyful conversation, discussion yesterday about some of these same things. And I kind of like some of the comments that you got from Jackie a bit earlier before I joined the show. And obviously, there is an issue here that needs to be addressed. And perhaps maybe things can be changed. After all, President Obama that was his campaign, you know, change. And I think we just need to look. There's something wrong with the system. It's not working. And it's like when I talk to my kids, it's like, you know what? If there's the same common denominator each time I look at something, I might want to address that. That might be the problem, particularly if it's something that's wrong. And it seems to be that these young men, when they're in school, time and time again, Some of them are being brought, you know, to the public's scrutiny because they've been doing some things that's been improperly, but all seems to stem around them receiving some form of cash or something of monetary value. And I really think that, listen, things have changed for coaches. Coaches haven't, they haven't left the profession to go do something else because they feel that there's not enough in it for them. And certainly football players haven't left colleges and universities because they don't feel there's something in there for them. But the high school, I mean, the college players and those guys that are coming out of high school, they don't have anybody there advocating on their behalf. So they've got to take whatever's given to them, even though they're not happy with that. And I really think that's the issue. They don't have a voice, so therefore you take what's given to you, and then if you don't feel that's enough, then they're led to do something else, and I think that's wrong.
Well, and I hear what you're saying, and really what you're saying is dovetailing us right into our topic today. Our topic today is, should college athletes be paid? And really, the whole situation at Ohio State is like the tip of the iceberg of what's happening in college athletics today. We've got the coaches, you know, John Calipari, $4 million, Tom Izzo, $3.4 million, Billy Donovan, $3.3 million, Bill Self, $3 million. I could go on and on and on. Notre Dame signed a 10-year deal with Adidas, reportedly getting $6.2 million a year. North Carolina's 10-year, $3.4 million deal with Nike, but it's not with Nike, it's with Jordan Brand. UCLA, $4.5 million a year through Adidas. And really, those universities would not be getting this money if it wasn't for the athlete. Now, all the money I just rattled off are just deals with the shoe companies and athletic companies for uniforms, shoes, and products.
And, Scott, you make an excellent point. You make an excellent point based upon what you just said. And all that had to do with a tremendous increase in revenues from what things have been in the past. And when you think about these EA sports games, I heard you mention that at the start of your show. I think with the exception of John Madden, is there another game out that carries a coach's name?
No.
Okay,
there isn't,
but,
actually.
But I know I'm moving a little bit fast here, but I believe there are some games that replicate the players' images. Am I correct?
Yeah, they all do that. Yes.
Okay. You've got, yeah. So that kind of tells you
football,
a little bit, because my discussion was about coaches and players and who is really driving the revenue. After all, I had a conversation again with Kelvin yesterday, and, you know, when you look at the competition across the board, the reason why, and Jackie made this point, you know, one thing that happened to Pete while he left is because he was going to lose his scholarships. If he lost his scholarships, he couldn't compete. The reason why some of the teams that are competitive in these different conferences now are competitive is because there was a limit put on scholarships, which meant that USC, Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Nebraska, and Oklahoma couldn't take all the best players on their team, and sometimes their second team was better than the last best team in the conference because there's a limit on scholarships, and that's why now, you know, it's competitive around the conferences because you can only have so many scholarships. So it's the fact that the players, I think coaching has improved too, but certainly they've got better talent on these teams. And it's the talent that is allowed for these major TV contracts.
Well, and you know what, you're right. And Jackie, I'm going to ask you this question. What do you think when you hear teams like Duke making $26.6 million for the university, Louisville at $25.9 million, North Carolina at $20 million, Arizona at $19 million, and yet the NCAA looks at these athletes and say they're not employees, they're just students?
Yeah, you know, that just pissed me off beyond all recognition that Mark Emmert was sitting there going, well, you know, we're not going to make them employees like janitors. It's like, well, they're all doing a service for you that benefits you. Why aren't you paying them? How much does that asshole get paid every year to scratch off a check to every coach in America to, you know, throw some shoes their way? He gets at least $1.5 million.
Yeah.
That just pisses me off. It's like, you want to treat athletes like it's an internship. P.S., guess what? Some internships are actually paid. And you're not putting your life on your line and, you know, your body out there to be injured every day as an intern. You know, you're working in an office. You're sitting behind a desk.
Now here's another thing, because I know that some of our listeners are going to say, these kids get paid to go to school. Their education is taken care of. Their food's taken care of. Their dorms are taken care of. Their travel itinerary is taken care of. All that stuff's handled. And I understand that. But here's the thing.
Not entirely, though. It's only 12 months at a time.
Exactly. And that's exactly what I was going to say. What most people don't realize is that scholarships are 1 year in length. And you do have to keep up your academics, and you do have a certain number of hours outside of basketball practice that you have to spend time working out. You have to spend, and same thing with football, same thing with track, same thing with golf. I understand that these kids are paid to go to school. But if you look at it, I think the average is about $3,000 short of covering the students' essential expenses is what I was hearing.
Yeah, I read that, I heard that someplace too, Scott, and I'm not really sure, you know, where that number came from, but I'm sure, you know, somebody did their due diligence in order to come up with that number and to put it out there. I'm sure it's a pretty concrete number, but you said something again. I'm not, you know, listening or leaning on your every word, but you said the athletes are paid to go to school, when actually those that are there on an academic scholarship are paid to go to school. Those guys, and Jackie must have saw one program, and I saw another program. It may have been the same program. I remember when Rich Rodriguez was sitting next to Brian Gumbel on a show he did on TV. And there was the big guy, and I just can't remember what his name, but he's a sports writer. And Rich Rodriguez just kept pushing down everybody's throat this whole thing about academics and how important it is and how important it is to coaches. And he simply called him on the carpet. He said, Rich, what's important to you is to win football games because you're a football coach, and if you don't win, what happens? You get fired. So I agree with Jackie. You know, let's be honest. And I have to be careful what I say because I am one of those individuals that is actually a part of this lawsuit for players' compensation after they leave and meet their obligations to the university. But certainly I just think that it's time for everybody to be honest. I understand everybody has a little skin in the game and they're worried about protecting what they've achieved and what they think they've earned. But again, I think the neglect is there's nobody there who is working on behalf of student athletes. And if you look at it, it's like, to me, and I believe Adrian Peterson was called out for, you know, saying something very similar to what I'm about to say. It is like slavery, because when you look at what slaves did, slaves, you know, put in an honest day's work in days and years and came up, they invented new ways to make work a little bit more efficient and take some of the pressure off of themselves, and things were taken from them. They were never compensated. They never got their 40 acres and a mule. Well, now these athletes go out here, and they're able to generate all this revenue, and I just had this part of the discussion with Kelvin Fisher. They generate all this revenue, and you go to a bowl game, and some guys back in my day may not even have been able to call their parents on the phone because their phones were cut off. And you sit and you watch coaches at the ball game and you help them entertain their children because they have been, the entire coaches, staff, their families got a chance to come and ride on that airplane and sleep in those hotel rooms and be with their families for Christmas. And your parents' phone may even be cut off. The young kid that plays for the Chicago Bulls this year, he was on TV. He's on a special. And he actually talks about the fact that there are guys that play in these national championship games. You talk about an NCAA generates 90% of the revenue necessary for the NCAA's, you know, scholarship and academic programs for student athletes. Yet still there are guys that their parents can't even come to the games. And then you have these other sports, and I'm not against other sports, but let's look at this like it is. It's a business. And if a business that's properly run has a product that is not producing income, you discontinue that product. That's what some universities have done across the country. When they can no longer afford to carry their football programs, basketball programs, baseball, hockey, whatever, they drop them. Now, is that fair? Maybe it's not. But I certainly don't think it's fair to make those guys and those young women out there who are earning all this revenue, you know, to somehow or another make them sacrifice and make them feel as if, hey, it's modern-day slavery.
What we're going to do is, Jackie, I want you to have the last word in this segment. So let's go ahead and hear what your thoughts are after hearing some of the things that Ray's talking about and when I set the table.
You know, I agree with the one-year scholarship idea and earning your keep and, you know, keeping yourself fresh every year. And obviously, if you're hurt, you know, you're not of any value, unfortunately, to the university. And I agree with the one-year scholarship. Keep your grades up. Keep yourself in check. Keep yourself in shape. You know, but at the same time, even Joakim Noah was saying he threw around a number about 700 million dollars a year that they make. you know, off of these student athletes. That's a lot of hamburgers, as he said, and that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money, you know, and if you have the top athletes that you're trading off of their name, their notoriety, the money that they bring to the university and their face and likeness, you know, you deserve to get a little chip of that because, yes, you do get a scholarship for it, but, you know, everybody's going to go where the money is and go where the notoriety is. Nobody's going to go to Appalachian State, you know, unless that's a big-time school with a big-time recognition and going to be on ESPN. Nobody's going to care if you get a scholarship from them. But if you end up being the star of that show, you are going to be able to bring money in for them. And therefore, you deserve to get compensated for it. You're a marketing and promotional brand for them.
Well, what we're going to do is, thanks for that, and we're going to take a break real quick. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk a little bit more about should college athletes be paid. Now we're going to move from when they're in college to after they're out of college. And we're going to talk about whether or not using their likeness they should be reimbursed by the institution or the NCAA for all the licensing money that they're getting from these companies that are using them. This is the Coach's Corner. I am the coach, Scott Lovell. We'll be back in just a few seconds.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Welcome to Inside the Trenches, everyone, an interactive show that is sweeping across the nation here on Voice America Sports Simply with your host, 12-year pro football veteran, yes, of course, the voice of America, R. Cal Trula. We're bringing it to you today, starts at noon, and so does Inside the Trenches, 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, bringing you the ins and outs, letting you know what's going on in and around sports and also in and around your neck of the woods. So if you want to be on the show and you want to be a part of the show, simply go to InsideTheTrenches.com and let's make this thing happen for you, the interactive show that is sweeping across the nation. Inside the Trenches, your show.
Do you love sports talk? Can't get enough sports talk? Have we got a show for you? It's about the NFL training camps, Super Bowl previews, a look at the new starting quarterbacks, and weekly key injuries. We'll take your calls and emails right on the air. Former Philadelphia Eagle James Loving is your host, and you never know who'll drop by for a co-host spot or an interview on the spot. Tune in to Loving That Sports Talk with James Loving every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is Coach Corn. I am the coach, Scott Lovely, joined by Jackie Taylor, that sports babe, and Ray Ellis, executive producer and show host of Ray Ellis Sports on Voice America Sports Network. Now, here's, you know, I know I mentioned earlier that athletes are paid to go to school and get their degrees, and that's all they should have. I know some of our listeners have that school of thought. And as a matter of fact, I've received some text messages stating the same thing. And here's the thing, guys. They're not all graduating. As a matter of fact, it's been so bad over the last several years. The NCAA put in place a APR, which stands for Academic Progress Rating for head coaches. So as a head coach, you are now graded based on the way your athletes go through your program and graduate. And so that's kind of kicked in now. Even though that's one thing that the NCAA has done to try and grade coaches, it doesn't matter. I mean, bottom line, John Calipari doesn't have to graduate any of his students. He's still going to get $4 million a year. Why? Because the product he puts on the basketball court that competes and gets them on TV and gets them in the national championship Final Fours. Here's the bottom line. John Calipari has had three appearances in the Final Four, two of which have been vacated. And he still got a big contract this last year because it doesn't matter what he does as long as he wins, because the NCAA didn't go to the university and say, hey, give us the money back from that tournament. They didn't say, hey, give us all the money and revenue generated by that. They just said, hey, you didn't go. So it doesn't matter. Now, the graduation rate of athletes at the college level has dropped. And since it's dropped, they're not getting that part of their due either. So now here's my question. I'm looking here, and it says in 2009, EA Sports was estimating that they were going to get $591 million in marketing revenue from their EA Sports NCAA football product. That's a lot of money. EA Sports pulled in $4.2 billion in their sports franchises. So now, okay, these guys go and play college basketball. They go and they play college football, and then they're done playing. They move on. Ed O'Bannon is working at a car dealership in Vegas. You've got guys teaching. You've got guys doing all kinds of things. And then you have, all of a sudden, a game coming out with their likeness. It is their likeness, and the university gets paid, the NCAA gets paid, but the athlete gets left out. Is that right? They're no longer an athlete. But because they got their scholarship, they signed over their likeness and perpetuity. Is that right, Jackie?
Absolutely not. I mean, it makes me want to call up Greg Anthony and go, how much money did you leave on the table when you left our lovely, fine establishment at UNLV? I think that's so awful. I mean, the school is profiting off of not only their jersey sales, but their likeness. They put their fannies in the seats. They're profiting off their ticket sales. They're profiting off of their appearances. They're profiting off of the name of them just having gone to the university and every person thereafter who comes to the university as a result of them. That is horrible. There should be, you know, in my opinion, there should be some sort of an agreement. And, you know, when you sign up to go to a certain school, yes, it's a one-year scholarship agreement, but you also choose to either take, it's kind of like when you win the lottery. You know, you either choose to take a flat fee or you choose to do it like sort of on a commission basis. You know, if you think you're going to blow up and you're going to get huge, you take the commission basis, because you take the commission on whatever the sales are of your likeness, of your notoriety and fame that will be brought upon the university. If you think you're going to blow up and you want your ego to just go large or go home, then that's the way you should play it. But, you know, if otherwise you just want to go and you want to be a part of it and you're okay with just taking a flat fee to go there, that's fine too. But there's no way right. You should just have to sell over your entire life and, you know, and basically indentured servitude for no reason. I mean, I know people who get scholarships and, you know, work in the university library who still are able to profit off of their, you know, scholarship and their ability to have to go there, you know, and they're not having to work that hard, but they're also getting paid to work, period. You know, and there's a lot that goes into that. There's no time for fraternal activities or actual work, you know, outside of their commitment to the university and the commitment to that athletic program. There's none.
Not at the elite levels. Not at the elite levels any way, shape, or form is there time. Mm-hmm. You're right. You're 100% accurate. Ray, what do you say about all this? I mean, I know that you can only say so much because you're a part of it, but give us something.
Well, I would think, you know, from my opinion, I would just say if academics is the priority at a university, then why is it that a coach, with the exception of perhaps maybe an athletic director or perhaps maybe the president of the university, why is he or she the highest paid, the next highest paid individual in the entire university? If academics is the most important.
I can answer that question easily, honestly, and easily.
Well, I want it to be honest, and I hope it's easy, and I certainly hope it's honest.
Well, it all comes down to, and see, I'm a marketing major, it all comes down to supply and demand.
And if that is the case, then let's be honest. And that's the problem that I have, this whole thing. is not being dealt with in an honest way. And I truly think that, and it's something that has to happen. There has to be early intervention. This has trickled way down. And I'm sure Jackie could probably talk about this too. This has trickled way down to the high school level. And perhaps I can tell you this. I know, as a matter of fact, it's gone beyond the high school level when it comes to basketball. They're looking at high school recruits. I mean, yeah, high school recruits coming from junior high to be recruited into high school as far as the eighth grade. And let's be honest, it is what it is. It's entertainment. And in no other form of entertainment is there a stipulation of which one has the ability to perform that they can't get paid, except in sports. I do not understand that. Why can somebody go and play a role like Friday Night Lights, high school guys? They're playing football, but they're acting, and they're able to get paid, and yet still the real guys who play in the games can't get paid. It's just preposterous. I really can't say as much as I like to say, but there's time for change. There will be a change. I understand, you know, monthly kids are getting more money than they were getting years ago, but I still think that the playing field is not even whatsoever.
Now, I think it comes down to giving the kids money means that there's one more mouth to feed and one more handout and a smaller piece of the pie for the coaches and the AD and everybody else who's got their handout asking for whatever money is set aside for that kind of thing. It's all divvied up and in a certain way, and I doubt that the amount would change, you know, given that, you know, the whole share the wealth mentality has now been put into effect. It's going to be one flat amount, and it just means one more person that takes off of their piece of the pie. It takes off the top for them. And that's why they're not willing to do it.
Because it's so big, it's ridiculous. I mean, I read off some of the numbers. Come on, if Duke is making $25 million for their basketball program annually, I mean, and that's not counting the shoe contracts and other things, there's got to be a way that those kids don't have to be eating Top Ramen.
Right.
Or worried about their cell phone bills, because that's not covered with your scholarship.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know.
It doesn't make sense.
It's just because of the fact that they signed over, you know, their rights to be there. And it's just, it's all a matter of, like, going to a big-name school and being recognized, because you know damn well nobody's looking at, you know, the Appalachian State football players except for that one year when they had that one gigantic early victory, you know, that, who did they beat?
Oregon
or
something?
Michigan, yeah.
Yes.
Nobody's looking at them, you know.
Right.
And yet, you know, there are scholarships to be given away for that school, but who wants to go there? You know, you're not going to get recognized unless your school somehow blows up, you know, and you're some sort of superstar. You're obviously going to go where the money is. You're going to go where the notoriety is, and you're going to go where you're going to get the most bang for your buck, so to speak, when the time comes that you want to be paid and you want to be in the league and you want to be a part of a professional organization.
Well, what I find funny is the hypocrisy of the NCAA and the advertisements that they run during the NCAA tournament about how, you know, 8 out of 10 of us will go pro in something other than our sport. You know, and they continue to push that, and talk about academic institutions, and yet all the revenue is generated by the athletics.
And that's great, Scott. Let me just say this too. I think it's extremely hypocritical too, because if your emphasis is on education, then why are the scholarships just 1 year? I can't get a degree in 1 year. So how are you telling me your emphasis is on education, but yet still, after 1 year, and I've yet to, maybe it's happened in some places, but I guess if, you know, like in the NFL draft, let's say if you were an NFL guy, I mean, after a while, you do sign your contract, your first round draft pick, and yeah, you're a Jamarcus Russell. They can cut you.
You do have to look at the flip side of that, though. I mean, if you dick around and you're like one of those kids who just kind of like, you know, screw it, I'm on scholarship, you know, I'm still going to get paid to be here for 4 years in terms of, you know, scholarship money, and I can stick it out or I can leave, you know, you're not going to show up to class, you're going to screw around, you know, you're not going to get good grades, you're not going to even be there for the right reasons. So I agree with that in that respect.
Well, Jackie, let me just say this.
And what we're going to look at,
that over the years, there has been kids that have flunked out of school. So, I mean, that's just like the NFL. You know, as I said, speaking with Kelvin Fisher yesterday, who is an NFL scout, you know, there are some first-round draft picks, and that's why they have a list called the top 25 bust of all times in the NFL in terms of the draft. It won't be a perfect type of, program of which this implemented, but it's got to be improved in some form or some capacity. But I just do not feel that somebody who says they're really interested in sports these one-year scholarship opportunities. It's just not fair. And then if you look at it too, I mean, why is it that a person is required even to go to the NBA, I mean, to college for 1 year to play basketball before he can go to the NBA? You know, he's a first-round pick.
That's a whole other show, right?
That's a whole other animal. That's a whole other hour of Scott not yelling.
Yeah. But again, guys, it just shows you, as Scott said, it's just a bunch of BS. You know, that's all it is.
Well, what I want to do is we're going to go ahead and take a break. We're going to take a break, Jackie. Hold on one sec.
Okay.
Hold that thought, Jack. Okay, so we're going to take a break. I want to thank Ray for joining us. We're going to wrap up this segment with him, and then Jackie's going to stick around. We're going to wrap up the next segment with Jackie. And this is the Coach's Corner. We're going to go to a commercial. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening. Hang on.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ray.
What is game? Who got game? Where's the game in life? Behind the game, behind the game. I got game, she got game, we got game, they got game, he got game in my field.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
Are you ready for an old school in-your-face discussion of professional college and high school football? Tune in for talk on a variety of football-related topics on the program From Under the Helmet with Derek Kinnard.
You will hear the week's headlines and straight talk from the hosts and weekly guests that are personal and provocative.
From Under the Helmet is broadcast every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports, right here on the Voice America Network, and let's talk football.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at
tough
the
shot. Got it with 2.8 seconds left
to left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely, the program that brings the high school sports fans together in Arizona and across the world. To talk to the coach, pick up the phone and call in toll-free to 1-888-346-9144. That's 1-888-346-9144. Or drop an email to hssportstalk@yahoo.com. Now, back to the program.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is Coach's Corner. I'm the coach, Scott Lovely. I cannot believe we are already at the 10-minute or 12 minutes left in the show. This is crazy how fast this hour goes by. But this week we're talking about whether or not college athletes should get paid, and we're wrapping up this show with Jackie Taylor, that sports babe located up in Vegas, Nevada. And she and I have been talking about, you know, should athletes get paid, and if athletes were paid above and beyond their scholarship a certain amount. Let's say that we gave those kids an additional $5,000 a year for expenses that weren't covered by their scholarships. So cell phone usage, a little bit of extra money to go out and have fun with friends or food or whatever. If all the universities were given that situation where they were allowed to give athletes that money while they were still in school, because, and this is why it came up, as of April 15th, there was approximately 300 athletes on the transfer list for Division I basketball, meaning these kids were on scholarship at one institution and were opting to leave that institution and go elsewhere. It doesn't matter what the reason was. Could be the coach was fired. Could be they didn't get enough playing time. Could be they were homesick. Could be whatever the reason. These kids are all kids that are leaving that institution and going to another institution or looking to go to another institution. So if the NCAA said, hey, you know what, a part of your scholarship is we're going to give you an additional $5,000 to $7,000 for incidental, spending money, whatever. We're going to put it on an automatic debit card, use that how you want to use it. Now, if that was the case, And you have to stay at this university. If you leave this university, the next university you go to cannot give you the same per diem or incidental amount for 1 year. Would we have so many kids jumping ship because of the lack of playing time or because they didn't like the coach or because of this or because of that? Jackie, what do you think?
I don't know if it's necessarily playing time. You know, I think the university needs to monitor that kind of stuff, you know, in their own mind, because it just encourages the kids to be shenaniganing. Like, you know, you went to college, you get to school, and you just kind of like, oh, no more mom and dad, you can just swing from the chandeliers. So, you know, there is a certain level of freedom that is entitled to that, and I don't know if $5,000 is going to be enough, because if you break it down, that's like a couple thousand dollars a month above and beyond. If you got a, you know, a car payment, or you got cell phone bills, or you got, you know, you want to take your friends out or whatever, you want to kind of live a little bit of a high life. And I think that it would encourage kids to not jump ship and go pro if they were given the kind of money that, you know, at the very minimum, like a second leaguer, a second rounder makes, you know, somewhere in like, you know, $250,000-$300,000 range. If you really want to keep somebody and you think that they are really high value property, so to speak, I hate to use the word property because it makes them like chattel, but, you know, if you really think they're high value property, you should pay them according to, you know, what the worst thing that could happen would be is them going in the second round. And as of last year, I think that was about $475, you know, per person. So, you know, it just depends. It depends on how valuable you think the person is. And like I said earlier, you know, you put them in the league of, you know, them being able to kind of take a lump sum every year, or you put them on kind of a, you know, a salary, so to speak, to be there. And yeah, I do agree with the whole, you know, 1 year at a time thing, because that, I don't agree with the whole, you know, you should have to wait a year and go to school. That's stupid. What's the point? You know, not everyone is going to be Myron Roll. That's the bottom line. And not everybody right. wants to stick it out and go, you know, go the distance with their education and then some, and then just be like, oh, you know, it'll be there when I get back. Not everybody has comes from that place and has that mentality. But,
you know, Ray brought up an interesting point right before he left, and I kind of want to get your opinion on this, because you cover the NBA and college athletics pretty intensely, but you cover mostly the NBA pretty hard. And so here's my question to you, because with the shift of the NBA saying that kids can't go into the NBA draft out of high school, they have to go to college for 1 year, that seems to me like a you know, you've got, I don't even know how to word it, but it seems to me to be off, because you've got the NBA saying, okay, we are not going to allow you to compete in our league until you've spent 1 year in college, or until you, I think it's your 18th birthday or something like that.
I think it's 19th, because Brandon Jennings had to go over to Italy as a result.
Then you have the NCAA saying that you have to go to class and this, that, and the other, but if a kid goes to college and knows I'm not going to be here next year anyways and chooses not to go to class, but sticks out, you know, cruises through just enough to get by so that they can go ahead and go into the draft and not worry about whether or not they got the grades or not, doesn't that seem to be counterproductive?
It encourages them to be shenanigany and, like, screw around and not go to class and, you know, screw off and go drinking and have a good time and, you know, be with their friends or whatever. They don't have any responsibilities. They're just sort of there to be there. That's ridiculous. It's like daycare. There's no point to it at all, you know. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, either make them go the distance or don't, you know. Give them a scholarship, you know, maybe for the 4 years, and say you have to stick it out for the 4 years. You can't leave. Or don't give them one at all. You know, I do agree with the 1 year. Everybody, you know, has a review, so to speak. You know, because that's the real world. Everybody has a review every year to see whether you get a raise or you even keep your job. So I agree with that. But I don't agree with the whole idea of, you know, oh, let's just, you know, bring you in. And, you know, it kind of makes me feel like the NBA and the NCAA are in bed together. Somebody's profiting off of that idea, because that money has got to go filtering down somewhere, because there's no reason for it. There's no reason for it. Somebody's profiting off of the fact that that person goes to that school. And then, you know, an agent is profiting off of them going into the NBA. And then, you know, somebody in the NBA is obviously profiting off of them and, you know, their recognition and their hype that has now been brought to the attention of the Western world. So,
right. And then you're right. And because the college recognition is more so than the high school recognition. So
right.
If you went to Granville High School in Oregon – somewhere, nobody on the East Coast knows who the heck you are. But if you're good enough to go to the pros and John Calipari can sign you, then Kentucky's ratings go up. Now everybody knows who you are, so your value goes up in the NBA, which means your jersey sales are going to go up. And, you know, so, hey, somewhere something smells fishy. And until the NCAA starts to really address these issues out in the open, I mean, you got a guy who's running a public institution not telling what his income is. And his predecessor was making over $1.7 million. The NCAA, the guy who's in charge of NCAA, what's his name, Mark?
Mark Emmert.
Yeah, Mark Emmert. His predecessor, he used to be the University of Washington chancellor. His predecessor made $1.7 million. Well, you know, yeah, he didn't take a pay cut to take that job.
Yeah, you know he's making at least $1.5 million to cut someone a check to say, recruit this kid because it's going to profit for us.
Exactly.
Everyone's got their hand out. That's the bottom line.
But the athletes aren't getting paid.
Yeah,
so,
and you know what?
The
problem is that every time somebody's got their hand out and the idea of paying the athletes comes into mind, it's like, oh, well, that just means that's less of the pie for me. That's crap.
Yeah.
That's crap.
Well,
you wouldn't even be paid if it weren't for them.
Your opinion is that they should get paid.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I know that's where
it would encourage people. It would encourage them to stay in school for the basis of their education, to have something to fall back on in the grand scheme of things. If God forbid they got hurt, or they just ended up not being as good as they, you know, were supposed to be, a la, you know, unfortunately Hashim to beat. I love you, Hashim, but no.
Help eliminate some of the stuff that's going on, like what's happening at USD right now with the whole gambling scandal.
Exactly. And, you know, it would encourage people to, you know, not only get their education, but it would also encourage them to stay around for the good of the team and keep a team dynamic and have these, you know, your whole experience of being with these kids and having lifelong friends and having a real college experience.
Well, Jackie, I want to thank you for joining us. We are coming up on the close here. You are awesome. I appreciate you.
Always. Not a problem.
All right, this is the Coach's Corner. I am the coach, Scott Lovely. I want to thank you for listening. Hey, what do you think? Should athletes get paid? Should they not get paid? Should they get paid while they're in school? Or do they deserve a piece of the pie after the fact with all the licensing agreements from the year that they graduate? This is the Coach's Corner. I'm the Coach, Scott Lovely. Remember, leave it better than you found it. We're out. Peace.
The game's over for another week, but come on back next Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific, for another discussion about high school sports and more on the Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.